we come to the Lord's table today, I want to draw your attention from this passage we've just read together to the famous and exceptionally well-known words in verse 20 of Revelation chapter 3. Words of our Lord Jesus Christ to the church at Laodicea, and through his word also to us as we gather as a congregation around the Lord's table. Here I am, says Jesus. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat, or as the older versions had it, and sup with him, and he with me. Many of us, I am sure, perhaps especially those of us of at least a middle-aged generation, will have in the course of our Christian lives have heard many evangelistic sermons preached from this text. And some of us at least will, I suppose, always associate this text with Holman Hunt's famous portrait of Jesus, the light of the world, standing with his lamp outside of the door of the unbeliever's heart. But I hope, even as we have read these words today in the context of these letters to the different congregations of the first century, that it will have dawned upon you that they are at least as appropriate and relevant to the Lord's Supper as they are to any evangelistic occasion. Indeed, the language that John uses here as he records Jesus' commands to him specifically echoes the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 tells us how the Lord, after he had supped, gave the bread and the wine to his disciples. And almost as it were as an echo of that occasion and as a description of what takes place at the Lord's Supper, Jesus here stands before the church at Laodicea and says to them, "Here I am. I stand at the door knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him, and the Lord's Supper will be shared between us. I will sup with him." Perhaps even more remarkable is that these verses in this letter are written obviously to the entire congregation that gathers in Laodicea. But this particular verse, 20, individualizes everything that Jesus says generally to the people of God as he directs his attention specifically, particularly, and individually to those who gather in his presence. If anyone, if any individual rises and opens the door, to him or her, I will come in and sup with them, and they with me. And the whole context obviously prompts us, especially on an occasion like this, when we come to the Lord's table, to ask ourselves, how then is it between the Lord Jesus Christ and myself as an individual? What is the condition of my relationship to Jesus Christ as I come today to the Lord's word, into the Lord's presence, and then to the Lord's table? And to help us in this connection, this verse underlines for us that there seem to be three possible conditions of our soul in relationship to Jesus Christ. The first of them can be expressed like this: Christ is excluded but knocking. Behold, says Jesus, here I am, and I am standing at the door. And it's obvious, isn't it, on which side of the door he is standing. He portrays himself standing on the outside, on the threshold of this congregation and of these individuals in it. And he is apparently portraying himself as excluded from their presence, and yet knocking as one who is seeking entrance. Implied in this, of course, is what he has said earlier on in verse 14. It is the most astonishing thing in the world that he stands outside the door of this fellowship, apparently unrecognized. Although, as he says, he is the faithful and true witness, verse 14, the very ruler of God's creation. The reason he is outside of the door, excluded from fellowship with them, is because they have failed to recognize him. It has not apparently dawned upon them that he is the Lord of glory. Indeed, Jesus puts it in ways that are particularly relevant to this congregation in Laodicea, which was a great medical center famed particularly for its speciality in eye disorders. He says to them, here you are in this city that is famed throughout the ancient world for the healing of the sight that its medical center is able to give, and you yourselves are spiritually blind. You do not recognize who I am, the creator of the universe, the Lord of glory, the Savior of men. They are internationally famous for what they can do physically for the blind. And yet here in this congregation, Jesus charges these professing Christians with being blinded to his own personal identity. They did not recognize him as he is, as the Lord of glory, the creator of the universe, and the only Savior of men. But not only was he excluded from their presence because they failed to recognize him, he was excluded from their presence especially because they did not feel their need of him. You notice how he puts it here in verse 17. He says, you do not realize, it has not dawned upon you. It is not just that you have not caught a sight of me in all my glory. It is that you have not caught a sight of yourself in all your need. As a matter of fact, he says, you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, and blind, and naked. Instead, you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. It's often said by scholars, biblical scholars, that the Song of Solomon in the Old Testament is a book to which no reference or allusion is made in the New Testament. But there is a passage in the Song of Solomon which almost certainly lies behind the passage that we are reading together this morning. You remember how in chapter 5 of the Song of Solomon, the lover comes to his beloved, drenched with the dew of the morning, and stands at the door of her home and knocks, seeking entry. He has been patient, waiting for her. And as she has retired, she calls, as it were, out to him who stands on the other side of the door. I have already prepared myself. I'm ready for sleep. It would be too much effort for me now to come to open the door. She is engulfed by a spirit of slothfulness. that destroys any love that she had for her beloved. And so eventually when she rises and goes to the door and opens the door, she discovers that the beloved who has sought her stands there no longer and is gone from her. And this is exactly the picture that we are given here in Revelation chapter 3. Jesus Christ, the lover of our souls, standing at the door, seeking entrance into our lives, knocking, calling upon us to hear his presence with us, to open the door and to welcome him in. But instead, these professing Christian people see no need of him. They are rich and they are full and they are satisfied with what this world can give them. And it has not dawned upon them that this world cannot satisfy them, and that only Jesus Christ can satisfy them. We turn unfilled to thee again. And yet the marvel of the portrayal of Jesus here is that he stands in his amazing patience with these people, and he is knocking at the door. And he goes on to explain the significance of that knocking. Those whom I love, he says, I discipline and I chasten. And he's urging these Christians in Laodicea to recognize the knock of Jesus in their lives. In the good old days when people used to knock on their door, it was often enough said, wasn't it? I would recognize his knock, her knock, anywhere. And how does Jesus Christ knock? He knocks from the outside, he says, when he disciplines and chastises those he loves, through the providences that he brings into our lives, through the strange circumstances that cause us to reassess our spiritual condition, through the sorrows that sear our souls and spirits and make us now conscious of how desperately we need the grace of Jesus Christ for our salvation. And he is so determined to have entrance that he knocks through the providences that he brings to us. I wonder if you recognize his knock. It is inconceivable in a congregation like ours, the size of ours, with the diversity of ours. It is impossible, I say, that there are not some of us who are seeking to exclude Jesus Christ from our lives as he comes to us to be our Savior and our Master. And in his gracious patience, he is knocking in providence in your experience. My dear friend, he will not knock forever. If anyone hears his knock and opens the door, he will come in and sup with them. So it is possible for Christ to be excluded and yet still knocking. It's possible in the second place for us, as we come into the Lord's presence, for Christ to be outside still, but speaking. Do you notice how Jesus picks this up? He says, I stand at the door and knock. But then he doesn't say, if anyone hears my knocking and opens the door. No, he says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. And he, of course, has been speaking about this already in the passage. Those whom I love, he says in verse 19, I not only discipline in my providence, but I rebuke by my word. And he gives us a singular illustration of that in the preceding verses. He has come to the Laodiceans in a city that was famous for three things: for banking, for clothing, and for medicine. And he says to them, by way of rebuke through his word, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for rebuke. And here is the rebuke of Jesus' word when he is outside and yet still speaking. You are impoverished, and you need to buy from me gold that is refined in the fire. You are naked, and you need to purchase from me robes that will cover you in righteousness. You are blind, and you need to obtain from me ointment that will enable you to see. And it doesn't take much imagination for us to understand what Jesus is saying. He is saying to us that we may mass for ourselves all the riches that this world can offer, but the only true and lasting riches are to be found in Jesus Christ. He is saying we may achieve everything we can morally, but we remain morally bankrupt in God's presence, and we need to be clothed upon with the righteousness, the white robe that can be obtained only from Jesus Christ. We are spiritually blind, and only when Jesus Christ touches us in the power of his Spirit will the scales fall off our eyes and we be enabled to see him in his matchless glory. And just as it is true of his word, so it is true when we come to the Lord's table, that we get here what we seek. If we seek only the ritual of bread and wine, then bread and wine we receive. But if we come to Jesus Christ, who offers to us sight for our blind eyes, righteousness to cover our sin, the treasures of his grace to make us rich, then as in the word, so in the supper, we begin to recognize the presence of him whose own body was broken for us, whose blood was shed for the washing away of our sin. And Jesus in his grace is appealing to these Laodiceans to come to the only place where salvation may be freely purchased. Purchase from me, he says, and you will discover in me how all your needs are met, how righteousness may be given for your sin, how grace may be given for your need. So it is possible that Christ may be excluded yet still knocking. It is also possible that Christ may be still outside and yet rebuking through his word. And just as he will not knock forever, he will not rebuke forever. And so it is with a certain urgency that he says to the church at Laodicea, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, oh, let him rise, open the door, bid me entry, in order that we may sup together. And that, of course, wonderfully is the third condition of soul to which Jesus addresses himself. Not only excluded, but knocking. Outside, but speaking. But now he says in verse 20, welcomed and supping. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, he says, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. Is that something about which your soul knows anything, my friend? Of welcoming Jesus Christ as the great ruler of the universe, the Savior of men, the Lord and Master of your life, and sitting down with him and supping with him and he with you? What is it a promise of? Well, of course, it's a promise of fellowship with Jesus Christ here and now. You remember how marvelously that was true for the disciples on the Emmaus Road on the day of Jesus' resurrection? So they made their way with forlorn hearts away from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and the Lord drew near, but they could not recognize him. And he spoke to them, and indeed he rebuked them. And then as they sat at table, we are told, their eyes were opened and they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And as they rushed back to their fellow believers in Jerusalem, they said to themselves, were not our hearts strangely warmed as he talked to us on the way? And did we not see and recognize him as our Savior as he broke the bread to us? And all that, says Jesus, is possible for us, to have the blessing of the burning heart, the heart that is warmed by the presence of Jesus Christ speaking to us, even rebuking us through his word, pointing out our sin and our need, but only in order that we may find him in his grace and his mercy. And then in the breaking of the bread, so that we see not merely bread and wine, but are conscious of the one whose hands were pierced for our sins, whose life was given for our salvation. And we have the privilege, says Jesus, of fellowship with him, of supping with him, of knowing him, of having his presence, of seeing his face by faith, and being conscious of his saving and keeping power. But that's not the only promise that's given to those who rise and open the door to Jesus Christ. This supper which we celebrate together is not only a supper of communion with Jesus Christ. It's a supper of anticipation of the glory of Jesus Christ. In it, as we say Lord's Supper by Lord's Supper, we proclaim his death until he comes. And so, says Jesus, for those who thus welcome him by faith, there is not only communion, there is a glorious anticipation. To him, he says in verse 21, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He comes to sit with us now in order that we may sit with him then. He comes to share this modest Lord's Supper with us now, that at the last we may be brought to share with him the marriage supper of the Lamb. And as we come to Jesus, as in our hearts we arise and open the door and say, welcome, Jesus Christ, lover of my soul, savior of my life, Lord of all I am, he who comes to sup with us, promises that we will reign with him in majesty and glory and splendor. And even in this world, as we sit at his table, we catch an echo of the praise and worship and glory of the feast that is yet to come, the glory that is yet to be, the marriage supper of the Lamb, when all those who are His own will admire Him in His saving beauty. So we may come today to the Lord's table with this gracious promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. But how is it between your soul and Jesus Christ as you come? Is He excluded? And yet in His grace has He been knocking? Then open, and He will come and sit with you and you with Him in saving fellowship. Is He outside but rebuking? Does He touch your self-sufficiency, your sense of self-adequacy, your sense of your own riches, and say to you, you are poor and wretched and miserable and naked and blind, and now you see that it's true? Then buy from Him the gold that is refined by fire. Wear the robe He provides of His saving righteousness. You to whom Jesus Christ speaks words of rebuke, listen, trust, rise, open, welcome. Or is it true, as in God's grace may it be true for us all as we come to the table, that Jesus Christ is within and welcomed, supping and blessing? It presumably must be one of the three. But which of the three? Here I am, He says, so that we no longer see the face of man or the voice of man, but hear the voice of Jesus Christ and see His face. No longer see merely portions of bread and wine, but sense that His body was thus broken for us, His blood poured out for us. And in His tender mercy, He who has rebuked us through His word welcomes us to His table and sups with us, and we with Him. Oh, come. Oh, come. And welcome to Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, in Your mercy You have given us Your well-beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to the shame and humiliation of the cross. We confess, in the shame of our own sin, how much we have excluded Him and been blind to His true glory and deaf to His gracious knocking. We confess too with shame that Christ has been outside even while He has been speaking. We have so often treated lightly His rebukes and casually His voice. We pray today, our Father, for such an outpouring of Your grace upon our hearts. that today it may be well with our souls between us and the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may know that He is here and hear His voice saying to us, "Here I am, open the door, and I will come in and sup with you, and you with me." Make this a reality for us, we pray, in His name. Amen.